business finance.
So tune in Mike, Darrell, and the Bull, putting your financial house in order, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on WFYL 1180 AM.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Welcome this morning to WFYL 1180 on your dial. This is Al Locke.
And Susan Locke. And it's a new day. Welcome.
And we got Russell running the board here. Thanks, Russell.
It's Tuesday, February 24th, 2015, and it's very cold again outside. Have to bundle up today, but spring is on the way.
It was 1 degree out there, clear weather, but got up to 5 when we finally arrived here. But yes, bundle up. It's cold. Global warming is nowhere to be found around here. We have some interesting things, Susan. Can you brief the audience on what to expect this morning?
Well, first, we'd like to start off with the scripture. It's Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, which I think is a good thing. It's what Jesus taught us, and I think it's something we all need to remember.
That's for sure. God is... Jesus has been on the cross. He won the battle overall. All we need to do is remain steadfast and persevere because God has already won the victory for us.
Well, this morning we have a very special guest at 7:30. We'll be talking with Karis Coker about the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta and the history there and its implications for today. And at 8 o'clock, we have a pre-recorded interview with Representative John Lawrence, who was with us last week. We'll be happy to share with you. He represents the 13th District here in the state of Pennsylvania, and he has a lot of wonderful information to share with everyone. And also, we're very excited about some of our new programming, and one of the things that is excellent is the Wall Builders program, which is now on Saturday mornings from 9:34 till 10, and we thought we would bring you a segment of that at 8:34 this morning.
Along with the Wall Builders, we want to remind our listeners that there's a conference coming up, U-Turn, a Roadmap for Renewal. Conversation with pastors on society, culture, and leadership. It's March 19th, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Lancaster Bible College. That's the Pennsylvania Pastors Network is presenting U-Turn, a Roadmap for Renewal, a conversation with pastors on society, culture, and leadership, March 19th at the Lancaster Bible College. I'd recommend anybody who's interested to go online and sign up for that. It should be well worth the effort to do that. Let me just give you an idea about the reason for the conference and the book that started the reason the pastors are in general population is gathering together there in Lancaster. It's called U-Turn, Restoring America to the Strength of Its Roots, George Barna and David Barton. And Susan already mentioned we got a Wall Builders program on the weekend that's hosted by David Barton, very, very prominent historian from Texas, and he's made himself into a historian and speaker for what was best in our past, and hopefully by his recitation of what happened in the past, we can continue along the godly heritage that we've had, so we continue to prosper here in the United States. What our forefathers did before has brought us prosperity beyond most nations' comprehension, and we'll get into that a little bit later too, but here in the United States We need to remember the guideposts, the foundations of the country, so that we don't deviate too far and lose our prosperity as we know it today, so we continue it for our children and our grandchildren. Just to quote some of the things in the book here, and while David Barton is a terrific historian, George Barna is a polling expert, and he's polled, his organization polls Americans, and let's see what his some of his polls that he documents in this book. Two-thirds of Americans cannot identify the three branches of government, legislative, executive, judicial. Two-thirds, two out of three, that's 67%. Three out of four do not know what the judiciary branch does. Three out of four do not know what the judiciary branch does. And eight in ten cannot name even one of the federal government's powers. Seven in ten do not know that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Seven in ten do not know the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Eight in ten cannot name even two of the rights listed in the Declaration of Independence, and 44% are unable to define the Bill of Rights. Only one in four can actually name one fundamental freedom protected by the First Amendment. Only one in four. And just one in a thousand can name all five freedoms protected by it. That's speech, religion, press, assembly, and petition. Now you know why David Barton is so sought after, and why we are putting on the radio this weekend and future weekends, because this is something that we have to bear down on. And let's get to the main nitty-gritty of this. One of the mayors of Los Angeles described his victory in a campaign after a campaign in which more than $19 million was poured into the advertising, and he participated in 40 debates, saying, "I got 33% of the 20% turnout of the 49% of the population registered to vote. I had a landslide with 2.6% of the population." Breaking that all down, what he's saying is that only 2.6% voted for him, but that elected him as a mayor of Los Angeles. So your vote counts. And if you're registered to vote, you can have a disproportionate amount of influence on the vote. You can make decisions that affect not only your life, but the lives of all your fellow citizens all around you. 2%, that what it means is that if only 3% vote, 99% are basically not having any say, and you're having the say in electing your officials. So you got to not only register to vote, you got to get out there in every election and vote. People have died for that privilege, to give you that privilege, and this is unacceptable for people not to vote. It's unacceptable for people not to know the Constitution. It's unacceptable for us to not proclaim these facts to you. And there's a conference coming up, as I just told you, the U-Turn conference, and this is out in Lancaster. You need to get together with fellow citizens, and you need to resolve to do your part. We're not asking you to go to foreign battlefields and die. We're asking you to go to Lancaster and basically participate in a conference. Pennsylvania Pastors Network is good enough to present it. We need to get a turnout from this area March 19th, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Lancaster Bible College, U-Turn, a Roadmap for Renewal. Okay.
I'd just like to add that we had a marvelous interview with David Barton and George Barna back in January when they went over a lot of the facts that are in this book, the research, but more than that, the history behind it and everything. It was fascinating. And we have that. We've replayed it a number of times during the streaming hours at night. And it's up as a podcast on our website under exclusive WFYL interviews. So you can listen to that again and hear it from them. But they're doing great work. David Barton does wonderful work there at Wall Builders. We're really, really happy to have them as an addition to our station's offerings here.
Well, some of the things that David and George detail in their books, like the entitlement programs, just to once again quote from the book, originating largely in the 1930s, these programs were designed to be safety nets to provide temporary help to needy and at-risk people. But this once short-term and limited assistance has now grown into full-blown lifestyle opportunities, providing lifetime income possibilities that no longer even remotely reflect the original purposes of these programs. Under Johnson, spending tripled from what Roosevelt had done. Basically, entitlements are no longer just temporary safety nets. For today, 49% of American households, 49% of American households involving 148 million Americans receive a governmental entitlement check. The government now spends $2 trillion annually to individuals through the various entitlement programs. The money is given so freely and unconditionally that most Americans don't even realize they're getting a government check. So this is what some of the things are going to be discussed out there, and you need to enroll. And
it should be a wonderful conference. We'll be back.
Common Core lesson on the Constitution, but the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. Unknown.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
Thank you.
It's a new day here at 1180 AM WFYL here near King of Prussia, Valley Forge, and actually located in Jeffersonville on the golf course here. So we welcome everybody this morning. Hope didn't wake you up too abruptly with Russell playing the fanfare there. But we do have some interesting news here, and this is something that I bought this newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, on February 13th, and it laid on my desk. It announces that the Democratic Party has picked Philadelphia for their national convention. Of course, that was big news. It's huge. It's going to focus a lot of people's attention on Philadelphia in a major way. I'm happy that the city is going to benefit economically, hopefully, from the Democrats coming here. The Republicans have been here in the past. It's a long storied history. But there's a huge picture on the upper left-hand corner, and it shows Mayor Nutter very happy, and it shows probably council people and staff members celebrating in the back. And this is all you know, just normal. It is a big event. Mayor Nutter's to be congratulated for pulling this off. And obviously had a lot of help. And what kind of struck me is this two gentlemen on either side of him. One happens to be the head of the Democratic Party in Pennsylvania. But the other one on his right hand, I didn't recognize who it was. But after 2 weeks or so, laying on my desk, I suddenly realized it recently. It's Josh Shapiro, the head of the commissioners here in Montgomery County. And it's just kind of a stunning revelation, because Josh is sitting right next to Mayor Nutter, right on his right hand. And, you know, reading the newspaper doesn't really give us any inclination why Josh has that privileged very distinguished chair, but it does say that the city region had to raise $84 million to pledge to the Democratic Party so they would make Philadelphia the convention center. So what I'm asking, and I think we're Montgomery County residents are entitled to know, is our commissioner here in Montgomery County, what did you have to do to get that seat? Hopefully, obviously, we have a vested interest in what you do, where you need to make a good impression for on the general populace so that Montgomery County is reflected on favorably. But, you know, Ed Rendell is mentioned in here, and Ed is known to be former governor, is known to be a mover and shaker in the Democratic Party. He's pledged $25,000 of his own money. He's basically raising money, $84 million or so, for the Democratic Party, and he's known to go to different locations, Las Vegas, this, that, and the other, to raise money. But what we need to get to the background. Why is Josh Shapiro sitting on the right hand of Mayor Nutter? We hope that there are money here in Montgomery County, taxpayer money, is used wisely, and we need to follow up on that and ask Mr. Shapiro what entitled him to sit on the right hand side there. We know that the Electricians Union, Local 98 of Philadelphia, not the Norristown local, but the Electricians Union, contributed to Josh Shapiro's election here. Josh Shapiro also funded, not funded, but he allowed our district attorney's office to defend Bruce Haynes when he allowed same-sex marriage here in the county, one of the only county that I'm aware of that did that before the federal judge effectively overrode the Pennsylvania Constitution and said that marriage is not between just a man and a woman, but can be between homosexual couple. So Josh Shapiro, in my mind, used taxpayer money against this taxpayer's wishes. And we need to ask Josh Shapiro whether the Gay and Lesbian Task Force has funded his election, and basically, or have they pledged any money to basically bring the election or bring the convention here. So Josh Shapiro needs to basically be open, be transparent, and you know, tell us how he attained this seat next to Mayor Nutter. Looking at the picture a little bit closer, and I commend the city of Philadelphia, it shows John Paul II as Pope visiting Philadelphia, has a cross in the background right in back of Mayor Nutter, and you know, one of the pictures on the wall there. So there's a lot of good in Philadelphia. We, our survival, our prosperity is based on a close alliance between Philadelphia and Norristown, Montgomery County, Delaware County, Bucks County, the counties around Philadelphia, and Chester County. And so we do value cooperation, and we're glad that Commissioner Shapiro is cooperating. We just want to make sure that everything's on the up and up there. You'd expect Mayor Rendell, as the chief fundraiser, to be sitting next to Mayor Nutter, but in this particular occasion, he wasn't. Anyway, going on to other items we have a interview coming up with Representative John Lawrence. And John, this is the next hour, but John is very prominent representative. And just like in Philadelphia, they have good representatives. John is from Chester County, a little bit of Lancaster County there. He basically represents the Oxford area, District 13. And John is so committed as a public servant that he declines a state pension, a state car, per diems, and other perks awarded to legislators. So we commend John for being honest and above board and keeping the cost down. As we know, we have a huge pension problem coming up since we pledged pay pensions, which we didn't fund in the past. So I commend John, and we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back. Hopefully Karis Coker will be on the phone, and we'll benefit from her knowledge of history and the Magna Carta. Thank you for listening.
WFYL, King of Prussia, Philadelphia.
Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. There's a Friday deadline to fund Homeland Security with a hang-up over money for President Obama's immigration plan.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham suggested let the courts handle President Obama's executive action on immigration.
The Texas District Court judge ruled it unconstitutional. Let's put all of our energy in supporting the court case.
Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says Homeland Security must get its money.
Fox's Mike Emanuel in Washington. Eddie Ray Routh's trial resumes after a weather delay. He's accused of murdering American sniper Chris Kyle and his friend Chad Littlefield.
Routh's defense has rested, painting the Marine, an Iraq war vet, as insane at the time, suffering from PTSD. But last week, a state psychiatrist refuted that claim, saying Routh knew what he was doing when he pulled the trigger.
Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso in Stephenville, Texas. Fox News, we report. You decide.
GEICO presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, hope you are well. And I am. Seems like all you do is promote GEICO's web and app abilities. And while I really enjoyed your last commercial where you talked about how I could take a photo of my VIN number and add it to my account all via my GEICO app, I've got to think it doesn't leave you much time for anything else. Do tell. Sincerely, Miranda Morgan. Well, Miranda, thank you for asking. And this GEICO spokespig does have time to do other things. For instance, I do a lot of
VIN scanning to add a car. Just a tap away on the GEICO app.
The 2015 Christian Business Guide covering Bucks and Montgomery counties is now underway for our 32nd annual directory. At least 85,000 copies are due for delivery, along with www.cbg-pa.com at no extra charge. Our 2014 advertisers can be found online for added exposure. Find us on Facebook at Christian Business Guide-Bucksmont for news, updates, prayer requests, and praise reports. To get your free copy of the Christian Business Guide or to advertise in Bucks and Montgomery counties in Pennsylvania in the Bucksmont directory, call now, 215-816-8998. That's 215-816-8998. Find a brother or sister in the Lord to provide that product or service. Get the original Christian Yellow Page directory. Go to www.cbg-pa.com or call 215-816-8998.
Hi, I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and how to have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC and get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's
610-304-1493. Welcome back to It's a New Day. This is Al Locke.
Good morning. We're so happy to have you with us. This is Susan Locke. And we're really delighted this morning to welcome as our guest, Karis Coker. Good morning, Karis. Are you there?
Good morning. Good morning, Susan.
Thank you so much for calling in today. Karis is the operator, the owner of American Liberty Tours. More than that, she's a wife and mother of 10 children whom she has homeschooled, and how many grandchildren now, Karis?
20
grandchildren. Karis is a walking encyclopedia of history. She is one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met when it comes to history.
Amen.
We have, and she has an illustrious background of her own. But the main thing that we would like to concentrate on this morning, because I know your time is limited, Karis, is the anniversary of the Magna Carta. So I wonder if you could share with our listeners that history and how it relates to what's going on today.
Well, thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to be here and to speak to the Magna Carta. And this year, 2015, is the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta. Many folks have become aware of it because there is a lot going on to commemorate it. But in today's world, it seems if you're just not tuned in to the correct avenue of information on a particular topic, then it's left out of your array of what you're acquainted with. Mm-hmm. But this year is from 12:15. It was June 15th on the field at Runnymede, and that's the date that has stuck in the history timeline. And it was not a new thing then that the barons were attempting to accomplish, even as in 1776, when the founding fathers set forth their grievances and their purpose in the Declaration of Independence. It was not a new thing that they were seeking to accomplish, but rather it was to establish at a point in time for the future certain things. William Penn, in his writings, spoke of ancient and accepted rights of Englishmen. That's R-I-G-H-T-S, not R-I-T-E-S. He spoke of accepted and established rights of Englishmen from antiquity, and those went back even before the Magna Carta of 1215. There were the constitutions of Clarendon in the 1100s, which that could be a separate topic in its own self, but then back to Henry I. King John, who signed, well, more specifically, he set his seal in wax on the Magna Carta. He didn't exactly take up a quill and sign the document. The custom was to seal it with his ring in the wax to confirm that it was from him, that he agreed to it. His great-grandfather was William the Conqueror, who came in 1066. And then there was the melding of the Normans and the Saxons and so forth, and come down then to the 1200s. And King John's brother had first been king. That was Richard the Lionhearted. But while he was away on the Crusade, the Third Crusades, John kind of let the public think that his brother had died and so that he could take the throne. Well, then the brother came back and he begged for mercy, and it was granted. But John was not a noble character by any means, one to hold with conscience a trust. And so he was determined to pursue his own will and choice, regardless of the cost on the people of England. So the barons rose up, and in November of the previous year, the legend is, and tradition is, that they took an oath at the altar of St. Edmunds that they would force him to sign what came to be known as the Magna Carta. So the following year, they went to, it was necessary for them to take up they took up arms, and they seized one of his royal castles. He saw that there was no getting away from it, so he agreed to meet them in a field, which we now know was to be Runnymede, by the Thames River. And there he set his seal to the Magna Carta. It was not known as the Magna Carta at that time, but it within the next few days, Cardinal Stephen Langton helped rewrite and craft it into a more noble form, and there were 63 articles of the barons at the time that it was finished. He signed or sealed that completed document. Copies were made and sent throughout the country. However, it had hardly been set, the wax seal was hardly set, before King John was looking for ways to get out of this document. It was merely a maneuver at the moment. But the document stood the test of time, and it became something that the people of England fell back to as a milestone in history, and it did establish what we would call the rule of law, not just for the subjects, but it also set boundaries upon monarchs and upon those who held offices of government. And that's its greatest significance in time. Mm-hmm. 800 years ago, it was put into writing that there were limitations upon what a monarch or a ruler or someone in government could demand of the citizens. So we come down to today, and it was recognized in had a great revival in the 1600s, which was, there was so much in that century that affected American life. There was the immigration of the Pilgrims, first from England in 1608 to the Netherlands, then to America in 1620. There was, in England, under Edward Coke, he revived and brought to the forefront in 1628 the principles of the Magna Carta in a document called the Petition of Rights, which was laid before James I. Then you have, in that time frame, the Civil Wars of England, where the people once were reaffirming their rights as Englishmen against the tyranny of a king who thought he would rule by divine right. Now, most people who are acquainted with Western history know Louis XIV to be the epitome of a divine right ruler. And there is no way you can reconcile an executive, a king, a monarch, or a president who simply thinks that he can, by personal fiat, put his wishes into law. That is completely contrary to the concept of the rule of law. So we have these principles laid down, and when you look at the Articles of the Barons that were contained in the Magna Carta, when you look at the Petition of Right of 1628, when you look at the Bill of Rights of 1689 that was signed by William and Mary when they came to the throne of England in what's called the Grand and Glorious Revolution, you see many elements that are carried forward into our own Declaration of Independence. And then there are, I think I saw the number out of the, in our own Bill of Rights, of the 26 particular rights referred to, there are more than 10 when you look at the document. Each of the amendments to the Constitution that are in what we call our Bill of Rights, some of them contain several different rights that are referenced, particularly the First Amendment and the Fifth as well. But 9 of those 26 have their direct roots right in the Magna Carta. So we come to the question of who are the lawless ones?
Mm-hmm.
And when we have individuals in government, whether they be a legislator, a judge, an executive, whether it's on a county, a state, or a federal level, or I will even add international level at this point, since they're arguing those things, who is the lawless individual? The citizen who exercises his God-given rights contrary to some legal code that has been set up in more recent years, or the legislators, or the executive, or the bureaucrat who writes a law that is contrary, undermining, or overturning one of the fundamental self-evident rights. Even when you go to the Declaration of Independence, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." That word is very important. Self-evident should take no explanation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which, in other words, not limited to, but among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that pursuit of happiness, that itself could be a whole different discussion in how our founding fathers related that to the acquisition and ownership of property and character, reputation, and a name that was to be honored. So your pursuit of happiness, in their mind, embodied the ability to acquire by honest means, let me remind you, and live with your property in safety, and to be able to protect yourself and your property, your life, your liberty, and your property, endowed to you by the Creator, it's self-evident, and those are liberties among others that you are justified and in protecting and preserving. So we come to today where very much of what comes out of legislatures and government offices is an overturning of those principles, the rule of law laid down with the Magna Carta, and we need to return there.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Karis. That was a wonderful overview. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We hope you'll be able to come back and share some more. We appreciate your
Indeed,
wealth of
we
knowledge.
Do.
And
thank you very much
taking
for
the time to be with us today. Thank you.
Bye.
Have a wonderful day.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. But with the PMI Advantage from Quicken Loans, you may never have to pay those expensive monthly mortgage insurance premiums again. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you that the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. Make the smart call and talk to one of our home loan experts today at 800-QUICKEN. You'll learn how the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Remember the Alamo was the cry of the Texas Army? The battle began today, February 24th, 1836, when 3,000 Mexicans attacked 182 Texans. Within 13 days, all defenders were killed, including Davy Crockett and James Bowie. The Texas Declaration of Independence stated, "General Antonio Lopez Santa Anna, who, having overturned the Constitution of his country, now offers as the cruel alternative either abandon our homes or submit to the most intolerable of all tyranny. He denies us the right of worshiping the Almighty according to the dictates of our conscience."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Are you discouraged and perhaps even paralyzed about how to respond to public corruption, broken families, and daily threats of terror? And are you tired of people complaining but hearing no authentic solutions? Do you wonder if there's hope for America? A biblical roadmap for renewal will bring you that hope. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I want to urge you to attend the one-day Pennsylvania Pastors Network U-Turn Conference on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. This powerful program will equip pastors, church leaders, and concerned Americans to know the truth, stand in the gap to defend it, and to take action now. Join me, along with Christian historian David Barton of Wall Builders, researcher George Barna, pilot and author Steve Scheibner, and many others. Don't miss this powerful event on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. God is raising up a remnant in America for this time. Are you part of that remnant? Come to the U-Turn Conference and find out. Go to uturnconference.org and register today to receive early bird and group rates. That's uturnconference.org.
Welcome back to It's a New Day, here with Al Locke.
And Susan Locke. Welcome back. That was a wonderful presentation by Karis Coker. As we mentioned, Karis is an amazing historian, walking encyclopedia. She has started a company called American Liberty Tours, and I would urge you to go online to check that out. She has marvelous tours of Philadelphia, historical sites there, Valley Forge, and so on.
Almost all of them led by Karis. Mm-hmm. So she's a walking encyclopedia, and she brings to light history as she just did on this radio station. We're so happy to have her. As Susan said when Karis finished up, wow. She didn't say it on the air, but I'll say it now. Thank you, Karis, for being who you are and dedicated to good government as we are here at WFYL 1180.
I would like to add that she and her husband, Eric, founded the Bill of Rights Committee back in 1984 and keep that alive every year, which is a wonderful thing. So it's worth checking that out. But one of the key questions that Karis raised is what we have to ask ourselves even today is, who are the lawless ones? And I think that's really a key issue right now today. William Federer's American Minute today talked about Santa Anna and his tyrannical actions. Whenever anyone puts himself or herself above the law, there are consequences to that. And this nation was founded on law. So, Al, would you like to comment on that?
I would. Karis brought it into focus. The king in those days, King John, was stepping beyond the boundaries of generally accepted good practice, and the barons got together, and they basically reined him in and made him sign the Magna Carta, which was a landmark happening that in English law, it was established from that point on, the king is under the law. The king is under the law. And this really pertains to us today because our president and the Congress, you might think the Senate, the congressmen are the barons in our case. You might think President Obama is the king in our case, certainly the one with a good percentage of the power here in the United States. But the Congress and the Senate need to remind the president that the Constitution is the law of the land, and he's under the Constitution. He needs to abide by the Constitution so that the country continues to function in an orderly way with due respect for the people. And we here have been going, we have a program, urge everybody to listen, from 7 to 8 on Friday about the Constitution. A lot of the subjects that you hear in the newspapers are delved into by these experts, Gary Porter and Sam Rohr. And,
Pastor David Whitney.
David Whitney.
William Federer has been on a couple of times.
Right,
Colleen Sheehan from Villanova. We have wonderful experts who share their knowledge and expertise. It's just like hearing about the Magna Carta from Karis today. It's really wonderful to be reminded of these historical things, and that's what these gentlemen do on Friday mornings.
Well stated, Susan, as always. We have the Pastors, Pennsylvania Pastors Network, American Pastors Network, with Sam Rohr, and they interview such people. We just played it recently, Judge Roy Moore from Alabama. He's head of the Supreme Court of Alabama down there, and he essentially says the law is very clear. The states have certain rights. The people have certain rights. The federal government only has the rights as defined in the Constitution, and any right such as marriage not defined in the Constitution, basically those rights are left to the states and the people. So Roy Moore is of the opinion that the federal government doesn't have a right to invalidate Alabama's law that marriage can only be between a man and a woman. So we're waiting for the Supreme Court to decide on that. But a reading of the Constitution seems to indicate that Judge Moore is right. We'll see how that all turns out. In particular, Judge Moore brings up the fact of thinking about him, and about the marriage, same-sex marriage and the traditional marriage. David Axelrod has just recently written a book. He says Obama believed in same-sex marriage from the beginning, from the time that he first ran for office for president back there in 2008. But David Axelrod and some of the other advisors to President Obama convinced President Obama to make a statement that he didn't believe in same-sex marriage. In other words, to get elected the first time, the president, dare I say, lied. But that's what David Axelrod says. And we know what happened when Brian Williams lied. The American people need honest, straightforward information. They need to know the truth. And the truth should make you free, as the Bible says. And basically, when our politicians lie to get elected, that degrades the process. The president is under the same law that Brian Williams is under. And Brian Williams was forced to resign. He's given 6 months unpaid leave. And, you know, we need to have a president that answers for that. Now, he did respond, the president at the White House, and saying that David Axelrod remembered that wrong. But David Axelrod was one of the closest advisors in the White House. You have to wonder whether there's too much lying going on. And this president has been known to stretch the truth on more than one occasion. But he needs to be held accountable for the Congress. He needs to be reined in, just like King John was reined in. King John went too far. The nobles stepped up to the plate, made him sign the Magna Carta. It's not only the United States history here that's involved, it's the English history, and it takes strong people. It takes courageous people, and we expect that from our Congress when they're elected. It's not just all the perks. It's doing what's right, what the American people expect, what this station expects, and basically we need to write our congressmen and tell them to get involved. And, you know, there's just too much been going on, from Fast and Furious to the IRS scandal to Benghazi to, you know, the recent situation with same-sex marriage. He needs to be answerable to the American people. And instead of stepping out on his own like King John did way back then, say 800 years or so ago, he needs to be, you know, confronted by the powers that be, by the Congress, and asked to consider, you know, being a little bit better, more restrained, and realize that he's under the law too. And he specifically said 22 times, as Speaker Boehner said, that he couldn't do what he did under this, giving all these illegal aliens amnesty. So 22 times he said he couldn't do it. Speaker Boehner quoted him, gave the exact date, and he went ahead and did it anyway. That's a King John moment, and the Congress needs to act like the barons did in ancient England, and basically say, you need to put your signet ring on this agreement that you can't do that anymore.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after the news with our interview with Representative John Lawrence, 13th District of Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180 WFYL, King of Prussia, Philadelphia.
Welcome back. Good morning. It's new day here at WFYL. We welcome you back. It is Tuesday, February 24th. And as we promised, here is our interview with Representative John Lawrence, which was recorded last Thursday, February 19th.